Okay, good talk, everyone. Nice to see you all, at least virtually. So today's daf is daf nun, and we're going to pick up on memtes amabez at the two dots. So the Mishnah referenced begizet semer vein metaltalin. So we were talking in the Mishnah about materials that you can use to insulate, and as we've talked a little bit about that, you can't add heat, but you can hold heat. And so, what the Mishnah says is begizei tzemer, that you can wrap a pot before Shabbos in shearings of wool. Vein metaltalin also, and the way we would understand that is that while you can wrap it in the gizei tzemer, you can't touch them, presumably because they're muksa, and the rationale for their muksa is because they're generally, their Rashi says the muksa is hain, he says this on the Mishnah, letavos la'arek, that for spinning and then weaving, because basically you're gonna take the gizei tzemer, the shearings of wool, and you're gonna turn them into thread that you're then going to weave with. And so for that reason, the way we're reading it now is you can insulate a pot with it, but you cannot touch it because it would be muksa. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Rava is going to change our understanding of this. He says, Lo shanu ela shel tamin bahen, that we only learned this that it's muksa, that ein metaltalin, that you can't carry it if he didn't insulate the pot with it. Avol tamin bahen metaltalin also. But if he used it to insulate the pot, then he would be able to carry it. So the basic idea is, as Rashi says, that this is mili mili ketani. It's teaching us two different things. It's first of all teaching us that if you're allowed to insulate a pot with gizei tzemer, and in fact, if you are using it for that purpose, or you're using it for a Shabbos purpose, it would not become muksa. And then separately, Ve'en Metalton also is telling you that if you don't use it to insulate a pot, so then gizei tzemer, generally speaking, are muksa, because they're made for spinning and weaving, etc., as we just discussed. And so Rava's refashioning our understanding. The Mishnah is saying, as long as you use it to insulate your pot, you can then use it from then on Shabbos, and it's not muksa. So says the Gemara, Esve ahume rabbanon bar yomei l'Rava. So the one of the rabbanon who was there for a day said to Rava. So Rashi explains, what does that mean, one of the rabbanon who was there for a day? He says, Osa yom bal the base medrasha tchila. That was his first day in the base medrash. It happened to be, there was a new fellow in the base medrash, and he's the one who asked this to Rava. If you take a look at the Masoras HaShas, so the Masoras HaShas references to a Gemara it's actually in the Hagos Tzionim, references a Gemara in talks about Rav Idi in the Gemara in Chagiga. So this is a famous Gemara on Daf Hei Amud Beis, where it talked about Rav Idi that he used to leave his home right after Pesach. He would travel for 3 months to get to the Beis Medrash. He would have enough time to be there for one day, and then he would have to head back so that he could be, Rashi says in Chagiga there, he could be Mesameach, his wife, on the Chag of Sukkot. And they called him the Bar Bei Rav de Chad Yomo. He was the Rav who came for one day. So some understand that that was the person who asked this question about Rava's opinion, but whatever it is, someone asked this question. It said as follows, that we said, Tomnin Begizei Tzemer. So our Mishnah said that you can insulate a pot before Shabbos with shearings of wool. Vein metaltal and oson, you can't carry them. So again, Rav is explaining that that means in general, but if you were matman with them, you could. But continues our Mishnah, Ketzad Huosa, so what should he do? Top of Nun Amar Aleph, Notel Sakisui, he should take the cover of the pot that has these shearings of wool, Vehein Noflos, and when he pulls off the cover of the pot, the shearings will fall off. So that implies that it's muksa. So how could Rava say that generally speaking, it's only muksa if you didn't use it for the pot, when our Mishnah tells you a mechanism by which you can lift the lid of the pot and they'll fall off by themselves? Because obviously there's a concern about muksa. So the Gemara says, you're right, there is a concern about muksa. So we're going to have to restate what Rava said. Rava so far said, the way we understood it, that you can insulate with shearings of wool, and if you do that, you can then touch and they're not muksa, but generally speaking on Shabbos, you could not use them if you weren't insulated pot. So now the Gemara says, Eliyitmar, Hachiyitmar, rather, this is what Rava would have said, Amar Rava, Shelo Yichadan Lahatmana. So we're gonna say, you know what, our Mishnah is in fact telling you that if you, even if you insulate the pot with shearings of wool, you can insulate the pop, but they're muksa because you can't take, and that's why the only way to do it is to take off the cover. So he's saying, generally speaking, they are going to be muksa, but continues Rava, avo yichad al hatmana metalfin also. But if the guy were to say, I'm taking these shearings of wool, and I'm going to use them from now on to insulate my pots, so at that point, Rava's telling you a chiddush that then they're not muksa. So the way we're understanding the Mishnah now is that if you choose to insulate your pot with it, you can do so, but you can't touch them on Shabbos. And obviously, if you don't insulate your pot, you can't touch them on Shabbos. But if you do, go ahead and make this declaration and say, I'm making, or at least set it aside in his mind to say, from now on, I'm using them only for atmana and not for sewing or anything like that. So then you would allow to be use it. Itmar Nami, we learn this also, ki asa Ravin, am Rav Yaakov, am Rav Asi ben Shol, am a Rebbe. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rav Yaakov, in the name of Rav Yaakov, in the name of Rav Asi ben Shol, who said in the name of Rebbe, lo shanu el shal yichadan atmana. We only learned this, that they're muksa to be touched, except where he did not set them aside specifically for atmana, for insulating, avo yichadan atmana, metalton also. But again, that if you were to go ahead and be miyached them for atmana, and then to designate that they're specifically for atmana, then metalton osan, you would be able to touch them, they would not be muksa. So generally speaking, if they're not insulating a pot, they're muksa. Even if you're insulating a pot one time, they're muksa, but if you designate them for insulation, then they become not muks anymore. Ravina says, wait a second. We could go back to Rava's initial understanding. So the way Rava said a halacha, but what's going to change is Rava's no longer saying it on the Mishnah. Rava's saying a general halacha, saying regular gizei tzemer, regular shearings of wool, you cannot touch muksa because they're muksa. But if you use them for hatmana, you can touch them. They're no longer muksa. So then we had a question, well, wait a second, our Mishnah gives us this mechanism of taking off the pot and the shearings fall off by themselves, which implies that they're muksa. So how do you explain that? So Ravina says that our Mishnah is talking about shel heftek shanu, that only when it's a heftek. So Rashi goes through a long explanation of a heftek, which is a storage place for merchandise that you're going to sell, and he says lots of examples, but basically it's a warehouse, a storage place, a place where you sell things. So therefore, the presumption is, so really the halacha is like Rava. As long as you're using it for hatmana, you can go ahead and touch it because it's not muksa. But if you use something for hatmana from your warehouse, so it's something that you're planning to go back and sell, so then that becomes muksa, and therefore you would not be able to touch it. So again, now we're coming out as follows, according to Ravina, is a little bit different. He's saying that if you have gizei tzemer in general and you're not using it to insulate a pot, it's muksa. But if you insulate your pot with it, it ceases to become muksa. Now, if you're using wool shearings from your factory, from your warehouse, then even though you're using it, it still retains its status of muksa. Presumably, you could go ahead and say, from now on, I'm going to use it for Hatman, in which case you probably would be able to use it. But that is Ravina's understanding. So continues the Gemara, Tanya Mihachi. We learned also a halacha like this, which says, Gizei Tzemer Shel Heftek, if you have shearings of wool that are from your warehouse, from your business, in Metalton also, you cannot carry them because they're muksa, v'im hiskinon, balabayas, l'shtamash behen Metalton also. But if you would make up, the balabayas would say, from now on, I'm not selling these things anymore, I'm going to use them just for my Hatman every week, then when he uses it for atmana, it would no longer be muksa. Okay, so continues the Gemara. Tana Rava Bar Bar Chana Kamei de Rav. Rava Bar Bar Chana learned in front of Rav as follows. Chorios shel dekel shegodron le'etzim. So Rashi says, Chorios shel dekel, he describes this basically when a palm tree hardens and the branches fall off. Shegadron means that he cut them down. Rashi says gadron is the term you use for cutting down the branches of a palm tree. So basically what happened was this guy cut branches for the purpose of having it as firewood, le'etzim, for wood. V'nimlach aleihen li'yeshiva. And he said, you know what, forget it, I'm not going to burn these wood things, I'm not going to burn them as firewood, but rather I want to use it as a chair. So can he do that? In other words, he cut it down for wood, and now he changed his mind and wants to use it as a place where he could sit. So says the Gemara, the Tanakhama says, Tzarech l'kasher. If he wants to use it now for a chair, he has to take some kind of action that shows he's going to use it as a chair. And what should he do? He should take those pieces of wood and he should bind them with rope, tie them together. And then that shows that he's planning to use it as a chair. And then he would sit on it once it's been tied up in that way before Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ein tzarech l'kasher. So he says that he does not need to tie it up. All he needs to do is decide in his mind, I'm no longer using that wood for firewood, and rather I'm going to use it for seating, and he decides that before Shabbos, then he's allowed to sit on it on Shabbos because he's already changed its use from a muksa use, which would be firewood, to a permitted use, which would be a chair. Hu tani lava hu amar la. So Rabbi Bar Rachana taught us this braisa, and he also said on it, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, and if someone has something that would otherwise be muksa, but he changes his mind before Shabbos to use it for a valid Shabbos purpose, that removes it from the status of muksa, from the category of muksa, and he does not need to take any particular action to affect that release of muksa. Itmar. So we learned as follows. Rav Omer, so those were Tanayim. Now we're saying in Amorayim, Rav Omer kosher. Rav says that if you have these branches of wood that you wanted originally for firewood and now you want to use it as a chair, you need to tie them up. You need to take some kind of actual action on those things. Ushmul Omer, and Shmuel says, Choshev, as long as before Shabbos he has in mind that he wants to use it as a chair, that's sufficient. Continues Rav Asi Omer, and Rav Asi says as follows, Yoshev, Afa pishlo kishar, afa pishlo chishev. So Rav Asi has the most lenient opinion of all. He says, even if you never tied it up, which would obviously be an action that shows you want to use it even on Shabbos as a chair, and even if you never had in mind that you were going to use it on Shabbos as a chair, but all you did is on Erev Shabbos, or sometime before Shabbos, you sat on those pieces of wood. So I cut 10 pieces of wood. I was going to use it as firewood. On Friday afternoon, I decided, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to sit down. I had no intention about using it tomorrow. I didn't tie it. I didn't do anything. So according to Rav Asi, that's enough. The fact that you sat on it once shows that you took it out of the category of firewood and you converted it into a category of a chair, even without specific intention to use it on Shabbos and even without tying it. So now says the Gemara. Bishloma Rav Hu Dama Katana Kama. So Rav, which says you have to tie it, was just like the Tana Kama of the Braisa, who says you have to tie it and you have to do an action. Ushmul Nami Hu Dama K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shmuel, who said you have to just have in mind that on Friday that you're going to use it tomorrow, he says like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he also has a Tana to go along with him. El Rav Asi the Amar Kaman. So he says, but Rav Asi came up with this new thing that if you used it and then you didn't have it in mind for Shabbos, you could still, it's still not muksa on Shabbos. Who is that like? So we say, Hu damar ki ay tana, he said it like a third tana, which is that tanya desanya, because we learned in a braisa as follows. Yotzen b'pikorin u'b'tzipa. So pikorin and tzipa, Rashi explains them to be some kind of, pikorin, he says, is combed flax, and tzipa is combed wool. And according to Rashi, this is something that you would put on a wound. So it's like a band-aid, basically. Flax or a woolen band-aid. And the purpose of it is not to, it's not to cure it or to heal it, because then there would be an issue of, probably an issue of having that on Shabbos. But rather, this is just there to cover, it's like a band-aid, it's there to cover the wound, so the wound does not get aggravated. That's Rashi's understanding. Tosus brings Rabbeinu Chananel that it seems he's saying it's a kippah sheyeshbo sear, v'nosonoso barosh hakareach. He says it's like a kippah that has hair on it, and you put it on a bald man's head, so basically a toupee. That's what Tosus understands it to be, it's a toupee. So the idea is a person can go out on Shabbos wearing a bandage or a toupee, bizman shetzavan b'shemen v'karchan b'meshicha. As long as he dipped it in oil and he tied it on. So if we're talking, let's just go with Rashi, that we're talking about a bandage. So in order, like I said before, the purpose of the bandage is not to aggravate the wound. So they would dip it in oil and he would tie it on however he would tie it. Lotzavan below karcham b'meshicha ein yotzen behen. But if you don't dip it in oil and you don't tie it on, then you're not allowed to go out with it. Now, why can't you go out with it? So Rashi explains that if it's a valid thing that you would be wearing to protect your wound, so it becomes like a garment, like a beged. And obviously, any beged you're allowed to wear outside, and it's not considered carrying. But if he didn't use it fully and properly, meaning he didn't tie it on, he didn't put it in oil to make it good, so then you're not allowed to go out with it because it's considered carrying. Rashi says it leaves the category of a beged and it becomes a masoi. It becomes something that's a burden to carry or something that you're carrying, and therefore you would not be able to do it. But continues the Tana, v'im yatza bahen sho'achas mibod yom. But if he went out on Friday before Shabbos with this bandage on or this toupee, afal pish lo tzavav lo karchum m'shichum mutter latzeis behen. As long, even if he didn't tie it on to him, so he just like put the, like a gauze pad over his wound. He didn't attach it. He didn't dip it in anything. He just put it there, but he went out on Erev Shabbos, even if he didn't have, he wasn't trying to prove a point about Shabbos, but that shows that he sees this as something he would wear even on a Friday, and therefore he could go out with it on Shabbos. So this is a Tana who is saying something very similar to Rabasi. Rabasi said, if you had a use on Friday, even without intention, that showed you are using it for a specific use that's in fact permissible on Shabbos, then that's enough to cover you for Shabbos. And so too, the same idea with a bandage and the same idea with these bundle pieces of wood that you're going to use tomorrow, as long as he sat on it on Friday, that showed that he's taking it out of its muksa status and putting it into a non-muksa status. Says the Gemara. For those who joined late, we're like right across from the Tosfos that starts Vim Yatza Bahen. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Afana Nami Tanina, we learned something similar, the same idea, similar to this, this idea that if you sat on it or you went out with this bandage, even if it's not tied, where do we see that? It says, Hakash Shagabe Amita. So people used to sleep on whatever it was, a board or something, and they would put down straw in order to be like a mattress. So if someone had straw on his bed, but it wasn't spread out well, so it's not comfortable. It's a mound in the middle. Rashi says so. He has this straw, but it's already Shabbos. So what can he do? Because he's not allowed to move it with his hand. So says the Braisa, the Mishnah, lo yinanenu biyado. He shouldn't touch it or move it with his hand. Avol minanehu begufo. But he can basically. Kilacher yad, which means he does it not in its normal way. Basically, he can go on this mound of straw and roll around on it till basically the straw gets distributed across the bed because he's not touching the straw in the ordinary fashion, and therefore it's acceptable for him to affect the movement of something muksa as long as he wasn't doing it in a direct and normal fashion. But continues the Mishnah, Avalim Haya Macho Behema. Oh, but if the straw had been used for feeding an animal, o shahayalav kar oksadin mibod yom, or it had a sheet or a pillow or a cushion on it while it was still erev Shabbos, minaneu biyado, that you can actually move it with your hand. Shema mina. So we hear from this the same idea that if there was some usage you did on erev Shabbos, so you showed that I intend this straw. Not to be, because Rashi says normally straw is used for creating bricks or whatever, so it would be muksa. But here, by putting his even though it was still a mound of straw in the middle of his board, that's his bed, but he put his pillow and his sheet there, so that showed on Erev Shabbos, even though he didn't say specifically or have in mind, I'm going to move around the kash tomorrow, but since he showed this is his bed, so then that's sufficient. And the next day, it's not going to become muktzah, or that night when he wants to go to sleep, he can actually take it in his hand, and this straw is no longer considered muktzah because his action on Erev Shabbos demonstrates that he was taking it out of its category of muktzah. So we've figured out who Rav Asi was going like. Rav Asi was going like this Tana who says, your actions on Friday can remove it from the status of muktzah. Says the Gemara, Uman Tana de Palagala de Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, if you remember, we had three opinions. We had the Tanakama. I'm sorry, because in the initial Tanaitic statement, we had two. We had the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama said you need to tie it, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said it's enough to think about it. So now the Gemara asks, basically, who is that Tanakama that argues on Rav Shimon Gamliel? So says the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Akiva. It was Rav Chanina ben Akiva. The Chiasa Rav Dimi Amr Ziiri Amr Rav Chanina. Because when Rav Dimi said in the name of Ziiri, he said in the name of Chanina, Pam achas halach Rav Chanina ben Akiva l'makom echad, that one time Rav Chanina ben Akiva was going somewhere, Umata churiyah shaldekel shegadrum l'shum eitzim. He found these palm branches that had been cut down for purposes of firewood. So this is the case we learned before. Now what's ironic? Okay, v'amar lahem, he said to them, l'tamidav tis tamidav tzu v'chashvu k'desh neshev aleim l'machar. So he said, go out and have in mind that you're going to use them so that as a seat, so that tomorrow we'll be able to use it. Now, if he had ended there, this would actually be a support to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says it's enough to have in mind. But Ze'iri continues the story. He says, "Lo yadana ibeis hamishta hava ibeis ha'ovel hava." But I don't remember. We were at some important distracting event. He said, I don't remember. Maybe it was a beis ovel. Maybe it was a chasana. It was one or the other, but it was an extenuating circumstance. So says the Gemara, Midika Amar, I beis hamishta hava, I beis ha'ovel hava, davka beis ha'ovel o beis hamishta detridi. So he said, you know, when Amorayim say something, they don't say it for no reason. So the fact that he said, I don't remember whether it was a wedding or a beis ha'ovel, we take that to be a serious halachic statement, not just his saying, I don't remember. So therefore, his halachic statement seemed clear that why was it sufficient for them to just have in mind that they're going to use these pieces of wood tomorrow for a seat is because it was an extenuating circumstance. It was a funeral or it was a wedding. It was distracting. So he told them, in this case, it's enough for you to go out and just have in mind. Aval hacha, but here, when we're talking about a regular Shabbos, when you cut down the wood for Eitzim and now you want to use it tomorrow, kasher in, lo kasher lo. If you tie it up, it's good. You don't tie it up, it's no good. So therefore, what do we see? We see a Tana who holds, Rav Chanina ben Akiva, who was telling his Talmidim, basically, the halacha is, if you want to make the wood eligible for seeding tomorrow, you got to actually go tie it. In one particular case where he was, where it was extenuating circumstances, and he said, it's enough if you go out and have in mind. But we see from there that in the ordinary course, he would require it to be tied up. Okay, last thin line, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says as follows: Machnes adam maloku paso offer, va'osa bal kol tarko. So a person can bring into his house a container full of dirt, and he uses it for whatever he wants to use it for. Rashi says, Rashi here says specific things. Rashi in Be'ah seems to say for any use, he doesn't have to have in mind. But Rashi says to cover over a spit or manure or anything like that. So a guy can bring dirt into his house so that he can use it on Shabbos. Darsh Marzucha Mishmeid Marzucha Rabba. Marzucha said, Darsh in the name of Marzucha Rabba. V'husha Yichala Karen Zavis. As long as he made a corner for it. Now, mind you, making a corner for it is not considered taking an action. So, they explain that because otherwise, if he wouldn't have designated a corner for it, so he says, Rashi says, "Davi kamuchan v'omid." Once he puts it in the corner, it's like it's prepared and it's standing there to be used on Shabbos. Avon nasnu be'emsa beso. But if he would put it in the middle of his house, not in a corner, lemetris reglayim, and where people are walking, harayhu bato legabe karkos habayis amuks of aser. He says, but if he doesn't put it in a corner, so then it doesn't become distinct. It gets mixed with the dirt of his house, and people walk over it. So then he won't be able to use it. But okay, so far we have the idea that you could take dirt into your house and use it, put it in the corner and use it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbanan Kamedra of Papa Kiman. Who's that halacha like? We say, Kerib Shimon ben Gamliel. It must be like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said it's enough to have in mind that you're going to use it. So this guy had in mind when he put the dirt in. The Iker Rabbanan, because if, it must be Rav Shimon Gamliel, because if it would like be like the Rabbanan, Ha'amri, they said, Ba'inan Maisa, we need to do something, because the Rabbanan were the ones who said, if you have wood, which would otherwise be Muksa, and you want to use it on Shabbos, you have to tie it, you have to do a Maisa. And here we're seeing there was no Maisa done. He didn't do anything to the dirt. And yet we said you could use the dirt tomorrow. So it must be a raya that this Tana who says that you can, that when Marzucha Rabba was saying, when Rav Yehuda was saying you could bring dirt in, it was Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's why you did not have to do any particular maisa. Says the Gemara, Amri Luhura Papa. Rav Papa said, not so fast. It doesn't only have to be Rav Shimon Gamliel. It is true that no action was done here, and normally the Rabbanan require an action, but says Rav Papa, Afilu Temer Rabbanan, can even be the Rabbanan. Ad kan lo ko amri Rabbanan de beina maisa, elamidi de bara vidi be maisa. That when did the Rabbanan say you have to do a maisa, is when there's some maisa that's capable of being done. So for example, if you have wood that was chopped down for wood and now you want to use it for a seat, that's sufficient for, for taking it out of the muktzah category. But if you had something that there is no action you could take on it, so then the Rabbanan wouldn't require an action. So since dirt, there's nothing you can do to the dirt to make it ready. Yeah, you would have to make some change in the dirt, and there's no way to change the dirt. So therefore, we started with a halacha. We thought it was like Rav Shimon Gamliel because there's no maisa, there's only an intention to use it, and that was enough. But Rav Papa says it could even be the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan would agree if there's no maisa that can be done to it, then obviously there's no maisa that can be done, and it's not going to be muksa. As long as he has in mind to use it, that is sufficient. So says the Gemara, Nemo ketanai. So maybe I'll tell you that this is a machlokas tanayim as to whether, if there's no action that can be done, whether or not you can use it. Says the Gemara, well, how do you see that? Because, says the Gemara, the Braisa, Bakol, I'm not sure if it's a Mishnah Braisa, I'm sorry, Bakol chafin es hakelim, chutz mikli chasef begartikon. So we say as follows, that, you can rub any kalim, I think, to shine them up, except rubbing kesef with gartikon. What's gartikon? Rashi seems to say it's, he says it's some kind of dirt or mold or something that grows in a barrel of wine. Karnlo alum. So the point is, Rashi says, that's the main kind of ingredient you use to fix silver. So if you had silver that got scratched up, you would use this gartikon. And Rashi says, this is the main way you fix a silver implement. The gorer also, that scrapes the silver. Shak kesef rach, because kesef is silver is a soft metal. Vuhu memachek, that's considered smoothing out. Shehu ab malacha. So Rashi says, the Braisa says you can rub anything you want you can use anything you want to shine a keli, but you cannot shine silver with gartikon because it also fixes it, and that is an issue of memachek of smoothing. So as says the Gemara, the implication is that the only thing you can't do is gartikon with silver. Ha neser v'chol mutter. But neser and chol are mutter. Chol is easy, that's sand. Neser, if you remember, we had this on maybe Memalef or so, when we had the story with Rabbi Yehuda went to the bathhouse, and he said that, we talked about Lashon HaKodesh and Aramaic, but he said, pass me the neser, which was a cleansing agent of some sort. Rashi says it's a kind of dirt. So, if you use neser or chol, which is sand, it's mutter. Okay, so we have an implication of a braisa that tells us that you can rub kalim with neser or sand. Says the Gemara of Ahatanya, we learned another braisa that says neser v'chol aser. We learned another braisa that says it's aser. So now, we're understanding that this is, the Gemara is going to say, this is a muksa issue. Maila v'hakamifgi. Isn't it a case that they're arguing about the following? The mar savar ba'inan maisa, umar savar loy ba'inan maisa. That they both agree that neser and chol are not like gartikon. They're not going to fix the keli. All it does is shines it. So theoretically, you should be able to use it. But it's a muksa question. So what's the muksa question? The muksa question is, at the end of the day, this is dirt, sand, and neser that you're using on Shabbos, and you didn't do any maisa to it. But the problem is there's no maisa to be done to it. It's just like the mound of dirt. So says the Gemara, maybe this is a machlokas tanayim. One Tana says neser and chol can be used, even though you didn't do any maisa, you didn't take any action on it, because there's no action to take on it. And the other Tana holds that no, you even though there's no action, at the end of the day, you didn't do an action, and therefore you would not be able to use it. So says the Gemara, maybe this machlokas tanoim is really on this particular question, which is, do you need a maisa? And if there's no maisa to be done, you can't use it. So says the Gemara, lo, dukuliyama lo ba'inan maisa. That really, everyone agrees that you don't need a maisa, and we're left off where we left off before, which is, I'm gonna tell you the next in the minute, but for the moment, we're gonna cut off here, the same place we cut off before. Everyone could agree, Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan, that if you have a material that doesn't lend itself to a maisa, doesn't lend itself to an action being taken on it, that would not require a maisa, even according to the Rabbanan, and it would be enough if he has in mind before Shabbos, I'm going to use this neser or this chol to shine my cups. That's okay. And that's where the Gemara is going to leave it. But we have to explain, if we're saying that everyone agrees on this, we're stuck with the question of, we have two conflicting brises. One which said you can use neser and chol to shine things, and one which said you can't. So now we're going to have to come up with other ways to explain, because we said it is not a question of whether you have to do a maisa and therefore can't use something that doesn't lend itself to maisa. Rather, there's something else to explain the steer and the brisa, and we're going to try a couple of things here. So says the Gemara, v'lo kasha, it's not a kasha, because harav Yehuda harav Shimon, or harav Yehuda damar davar shenim iskaven aser, harav Shimon damar davar shenim iskaven mutar. So this is the famous machlokas of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We've talked about it many times, but basically, just to explain where the Gemara is going, when we started, the Gemara thought everyone agrees that Neser and Chol do not smooth the kalim. They don't. They're not like the gartikon. They're not like the stuff you use on silver. And there's no issue of memachek. The only question was we had a muksa issue. Now the Gemara is saying no. We're actually dealing with a memachek concern. What's the concern? That gartikon for sure smooths out silver. Chol and neser, we're saying mostly they don't, or often they don't, but they could maybe smooth out something. And then the question is, are we concerned about memachek, about smoothing, which as Rashi said is an av malacha? So if we are dealing with a case where if you're using something, the chol or the neser, and you're concerned that it's possible, even though you just intend to shine your keli, you're not trying to fix it, it might actually smooth or scrape or do something positive to the keli. So then what would the halacha be? So it depends. Do you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or do you hold like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda holds a stricter version of muksa and holds davar shenim iskaven is usur, that you're not allowed to do something you don't intend. So even though you only intend to shine it, you don't intend to smooth it, nonetheless, you can't use it. So that would explain the brisa that says chol and neser are usur. And Rav Shimon would be the opinion that says chol and neser are mutter, because he says, look, basically your intention is to shine the kalim. It's not always going to do it, which would make it a psik ratio. It just sometimes does it. And davar shenim iskaven is mutter. So we've had that concept. Something you don't intend is mutter. So says the Gemara, but wait a second. B'mayo kimta, Lahadashari Krib Shimon. There was one brisa there are two brises here. One that said it's us, or one that said it's mutter. The one that said it's mutter continues after it says it's mutter. It actually, if you remember, it didn't say it's mutter. It said you can shine any kalim except kesef with gartikon, but we imply from that neser and chol you can. So now we're saying that price is Rabbi Shimon, who says davar shenim iskaven. If your only intention was to shine it, you didn't intend to smooth it, it's no problem. The problem is if we're saying that price is Rabbi Shimon, we have a problem, because says the Gemara, B'maya Kimta, what did you set it up? Lahadashari, this brisa that says mutter krib Shimon, but ema seifa, I'll tell you the seifa of that mission, of that brisa that said that it's mutter to use, or implied that it's mutter to use chol and neser. It said aval yachuv behen saro. But he cannot use it to rub his hair, right? And why not? Because if he rubs his hair, again, we said Neser is a cleanser. We talked about Rav Yehuda used it in the Merchatz. So he cannot use it in his hair. Why? Rashi says, because you're going to cause the hair to fall out. So we're saying Chol and Neser you can use on a keli, but you can't use it on your hair. Because a hair might fall out. But says the Gemara, but wait a second, me Rabbi Shimon, Mishra Kashari. But if it's Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's mutter. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon holds that davar shenim iskaven is mutter. And since his intention was to clean his hair, not to pull out hair from his head, it should be mutter. So the only question, we know this halacha of Rabbi Shimon. The only question is, maybe it's a psik ratio. Maybe that's why the Gemara says it. So it continues the Gemara, Disnan, how do I know that Rav Shimon would say it's mutter on Amun Beis now, Nun Amun Beis? He says, because we have a brisa that proves that using neser in your hair is not a psik ratio. It's not surely going to lead to your hair falling out. How do I know? Because because we learned as follows in the Mishnah, it said, Nazir chofes umefasfes avalo sorek. It says a nazir, so we know a nazir is not allowed to get a haircut. So it's not only mean go to the barber and get a haircut. He can't do anything that's going to pull hair out of his head. Now, mind you, Rabbi Shimon, who holds Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter, would say the same thing. Just like by Shabbos, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter, so too by a Nazir. So the question, the Mishnah says, the Nazir is allowed to chofef, you know, he can use Neser and Chol in his hair, or he can mefasfes, Rashi says it's some kind of menafes, it's like combing, but it doesn't mean with a comb, because that we're going to say in a second is Asur. So presumably it means with his fingers, he can separate his hairs. Even though when you're using chol or neser, or you're separating your hair with your hands, it might cause some hairs to fall out. That's okay. But with a avalosorek, you can't use a masrek, you can't use a comb. So what do you see? You see that davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. So that's Rabbi Shimon. And you see it's not a psik ratio. Because if Rabbi Shimon held that when you use chol and neser, it's always going to cause hair to fall out, then a nazir wouldn't be able to do it either. So from the fact that nazir can do it, shows you it doesn't always result in hair falling out. And yet it says that it's usur we said in our brisa, after it said chol and neser is mutter for shining kalim, it said you can't use it in your hair. So we were saying that the ones who says chol and neser is mutter is Rabbi Shimon. But wait a second, that brisa continues and says you cannot use it in your hair because you might cause some things to fall out and it's not psik resha. So that does not seem like Rabbi Shimon. So said the Gemara, Ela Havaha. So we're back to a problem where we have conflicting brisas. We have one brisa that says chol and neser can be used to shine kalim, and one brisa that says chol and neser cannot be used to shine kalim. So we're going to explain it as follows. Both of them are Rabbi Yehuda. V'trei Tanai Alibud Rabbi Yehuda. It's two Tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Tanai Alibud Rabbi Yehuda Savar Garir. V'hai Tanai Alibud Rabbi Yehuda Savar Loi Garir. So he's going to say as follows, that there is no machlokas in halacha here. There's a machlokas in metzias. The Tana who says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's aser is of the opinion that chol and neser, when you use them, are just like gartikon. They're always going to smooth out the keli, which makes it, it could smooth out the keli. So according to that view, Rabbi Yehuda would obviously say it's aser because davar sheinu miskaven is aser. So since we have the possibility that it could, not the certainty, but the possibility that it could smooth the keli, Rabbi Yehuda would say aser. If the other Tano says it's mutter, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because he's of the opinion that chol and neser will never smooth out a keli. It will shine it, but it won't smooth it out. So now we're explaining, okay, perfect. The brisa that says, and ours again, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha is simple. If it might cause the smoothing of the keli, it's aser. If it won't cause the smoothing of the keli, it's mutter. And so the two versions of the brisa, one that said mutter, one that said aser, is because they had a difference of opinion in the metzias. In the reality, does chol and neser smooth out a keli or not? One would say yes, and therefore it's aser, and or it could smooth out a keli. One would say yes, and therefore it's aser, and the other would say no, and therefore it's mutter. So that's how we're going to answer the conflicting brisas. But says the Gemara, B'mayo kimto, what did you just establish? You established like Rabbi Yehuda. That you said that both brisas are like Rabbi Yehuda. Now here's the problem, because the same brisa we started with, which said, you can shine all kalim, with anything you want, except you can't shine silver with, what was the word? Gartikol. And then we implied from that, but you can use chol and neser. Then we saw the brisa continued and said, but you cannot use it in your hair. So we said, okay, no problem. That's Rabbi Yehuda, because he's of the opinion that because it might cause the hair to fall out. But that brisa actually continued. Says Gemara, Ema Seifa. I'll tell you the Seifa. After it said, you can use it on your face or your hands or your feet, even though it at some level can pull the hair out. It might pull the hair out. So the problem is, we said this is Rabbi Yehuda. But why would the Brisa continue and say you can use it on your hands and feet and your face, even though that might cause the hair to fall out? So that's a problem. How could it be Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says davar sheinu miskaven is aser, and he would say you should not be able to use it even on your hands, your feet, and your face. So says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, ha mavir seyer, it's going to remove hair. So the Gemara says three answers. E by yisema bekaton. The first answer is going to say, the one that says you can wash your hands and your face and your feet is talking about a katan. And a katan, generally speaking, he has hair on his head, so we're saying you can't use it for that, but he doesn't have hair on his hands and his feet and his face. He doesn't have a beard. And so therefore, we're going to say that when the Brisa says you can use it on your hands and your feet, it's talking about a katan, vibaisem. Alternatively, beisha is talking about a woman who, again, the Gemara is saying doesn't have hair in those same places, doesn't have a beard. Vibaisema besaris, we're talking about someone who's not capable of fathering children, and he also doesn't grow hair. So in all of those cases, so we're coming out as follows. That there's one Brisa that says you cannot use Chol HaNeser, that's because they're concerned that it will come to smooth out the keli. The one that says you can is because it's not, there's no risk that it's going to smooth out the keli. The Braisa that continued and said Chol HaNeser, so this is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's why it continued and said you cannot use it. You cannot use Neser in your hair. Why? Because there's a good chance that hair will fall out. Now, why does it continue and say, but you can use it on your hand and your feet and your face is only because we're dealing with a katan or a saris or an isha who don't have to worry about that. Okay. Move on to a new thing. Rav Yehuda says, afar levinta shari, that if you're using, it literally means the dirt of a brick, that's mutter. So Rashi says, they would grind up a brick and I guess use that as some kind of, the thing to clean or something, which, you know, presumably could remove hair. So we say shari, that's mutter. Rav Yosef says, kuspa de yasmin shari. Kuspa de yasmin, Rashi explains, is psola shumshinin. It's, spoiled or leftovers of sesame seeds. So that you're allowed to use, to wash your hands or something, whatever they would use it for, even though it might pull out hair. Amar Rava, Rava says, Afar pilpili shari, the dirt of pepper, which Rashi says, is schikas palpilin, that when you grind up peppers, you have ground black pepper. If you wanted to use that somehow to wash yourself, even though it might pull out hair, that's okay, it's shari. Amar Rav Sheshes says, Barda shari. You can also use Barda. Says the Gemara, my Barda. What's Barda that you're allowed to use? So says the Gemara, I'm Rav Yosef, Tilsa Ola, Vitilsa Asa, Vitilsa Sigli. Rashi says it is a barda, is a compound that consists of 1/3 Ola is aloe, and Asa is a hadas, and Sigli, Rashi says, is Asev, it's like a herb, Shekurim Viol, V'yeshbo shlosha olin, it has 3 leaves. But whatever, some kind of herb. So they would mix a third aloe, a third hadasim, and a third this sigli plant. And that, they would use that. So Rav Yosef is saying, as long as the proportion is a third, a third, a third, it's okay. Amar Rav Nechemya bar Yosef, Rav Nechemya bar Yosef says as follows, kol hecha deleka ruba ola shapir dami. As long as you don't have rov made out of aloe, that's okay. Rashi explains that this is more makel. Because Rav Yosef was saying you cannot have more than a third aloe, and Rav Nechemya bar Yosef is saying you could have up to half be aloe. Why? Because aloe, the Mepharshim explained, aloe is the only one there that really could pull out hair. The others are there just to make it smell nicer. So they used to use this barda. He says, barda is shari. What is barda? It's something that's either 1/3, up to 1/3 aloe, or according to another opinion, up to 1/2 aloe, but you're allowed to use it because presumably it does not always pull out hair. It just might pull out hair. And since the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that Davar Sheni Miskaven is mutter, so then therefore you would be able to use this. Says the Gemara. Boy, my name is Rav Sheshes. They asked from Rav Sheshes, Ma'u liftzoa zesim b'shabes. What is the halacha to be potzea zesim on Shabbos? Rashi explains that this means they would basically, pitzua is like a wound or a bruise, that they would bruise zesim. Rashi explains that they would kind of beat up the olives a little bit, like bang them against the rock, and that would somehow, Rashi says, remove some of the bitterness of the olives. So the question is, can you do that on Shabbos? Now, Tosos goes ahead and explains the issue according to Rashi. If you look on the side, it says Malav Tzo Zaysim B'Shabbos. Perish B'Kuntras La Kotsam Al Asela to hit them on a rock L'Masek Merirusan to make sweeter their bitter taste. U'Miboyle, and they're asking ye Aser B'Shabbos Mishum Shavei Uchla V'Tikune Uchla. So he said there's the options are because you cannot spend too much tircha preparing food, right? Or making something into an eligible food product. So that's the Gemara's question: is can you bang olives against the rocks? Uparach uvachol miyatiru. Okay, so all right, we're going to see what that means in a second. But you see beneath that that Rashi, the Tosas continues as kashal lefizeh. He references something else. The od ma hefsid ochlin. Yay. So we're going to see in a minute that there's a concern about hefsid ochlin. And ultimately, Tosa says he brings the umefarish ri mal ivtzah lachuf panav yadav araglov. He says it's something else. We're talking about chopping up or crushing up olives and using that to wash your hands. That might remove the hair. So according to Rashi, we're just in the middle of nowhere have an inquiry about whether you can use whether you could bang up zaysim on Shabbos, which make them a little bit sweeter. According to Tosas, according to the Ri, it's actually a continuation of our prior sugya of using things that might pull out the hair. But in any event, the question was, can you do whatever it is that we're talking about here to olives on Shabbos? Amaluhu. So they asked Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes said back to them, V'chi b'chol mihitiru. So one second, you're asking me if you could do it on Shabbos. Who said you could do it on the weekday? Why? Kasavar mishum hefsid ochlin. So because Rav Sheshes was of the opinion that you couldn't do it even on the weekday, you couldn't bang up these olives. Why? Because Rashi says you're going to cause the juices to be wasted because they're going to go out. That's one of Tosas's problems or the Ri's problems. It says, what kind of hefsed ochlin? He's doing it in order to make it sweet. But okay, we're going to just go with Rashi for the moment. He says, it's hefsed ochlin. You're causing a loss of food by bruising up these olives. So says the Gemara, Lemi pliga de Shmuel. So maybe say that it argues on Shmuel. Damer Shmuel, because Shmuel says, osa adam kol tzarcha bepas. That the Gemara, elsewhere we talk about the fact that someone could do whatever he needs to with bread. In Be'o we discussed the idea that you could use the bread as almost like a tray to carry other things on. Or Rashi says that you could like kind of dissolve it in soup, break it into pieces and dissolve it in soup. But you could do what you want with bread. You don't have to worry about it. So Rav Sheshes, who says you can't bang up these olives because you're causing a loss of food, then what about Shmuel? Maybe that argues on Shmuel, says you can use bread for what you want. So the Gemara says, Amri pas lo miyasa hani misi. He said, no, it's Shmuel doesn't necessarily argue on Rav Sheshes, because what Shmuel says you can use a bread, he's talking about using bread in a way that doesn't spoil it. But if you were talking about these olives, the method by which you bruise them up would make them miyas to people, and therefore there's some level to which that you're causing a loss of ochlin. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amemer Marzuch and Ravashi have a yasvi. The Amemer Marzuch and Ravashi were sitting. I see lekamayu barda. So they brought in front of them barda. Remember, barda was this mixture of aloe and and hadassim and that third herb or plant. So they brought it in front of them. Amemer Ravashi mushu. That Meimar and Ravashi washed with it. Marzucha lo masha, Marzucha didn't do it. Amri lay, so they said, wait a second, you're not using it. So lo savar lo mar lahod amr Rav Sheshes barda shari. Don't you agree? Didn't you hear about Rav Sheshes said that you're allowed to use barda on Shabbos? So what's your problem? What's your problem? Why aren't you washing your hands with barda? So Amr lahu Rav Mordechai, who was evidently a fourth person sitting there, says, bar minei demar, don't worry about him, dafilu b'chom nami lo svirla. Because even during the weekday, he won't use barda. Why won't he use barda during the weekday? Savala ki hadasanya, that he held like this, that we learned in a braisa as follows. Megar adam gilde tsoa, the gilde malka shal besaro, bishvil tsaro. So he says as follows, that if someone has, some kind of a surface of tsoa is excrement or waste, or he has a scab like on a wound, so he can remove that. He can scrape it off. Bishvil tsaro, if it's causing him pain. In bishvil yafos usser, but if it's to make him prettier, then it would be usser. Meaning, if he doesn't like the look of a scab, and he's taking it off for appearance's sake, that would be usser. So now, what basically he was saying is that the reason that he didn't, that Marzutra didn't want to wash his hands with barda on Shabbos was because even on the weekday he doesn't. Why doesn't he? Because it might remove hair. And removing hair, Rashi explains, is an issue because it gets into loisobash beged isha that he shouldn't, that loyobash gever simlas isha, that a man shouldn't wear women's clothing. He also shouldn't do women's methods of beautifying themselves. And since the barda could take out his hair, and removal of hair is something that women do, he didn't want to be involved with it. Okay, so now we understand why Marzutra didn't wash his hands. But wait a second. Amemar Maravashi did wash their hands. The Inhu Kaman Savrua, who did they hold like? So the Gemara says, Ki Hadasanya, they held like this that we learned in the Braisa. Rochitz Adam Panigad of Ragla B'chol Yom, a person should wash his hands and his feet every day. B'shvil Kono, for the Rabbonu Shalom, Mishum Shenamar, because it's written, the Pasuk in Mishle, which says, Ko Pol Hashem L'maneyu, all that Hashem did was for his sake. And so the idea would be that a person should beautify himself at a certain level. He shouldn't do things that are very unique to women, but he should beautify himself for the Rabbonu Shalom. And that's why Amema and Ravashi were comfortable taking Barda, because if it removed the hair, they're not so worried, because that would not be a problem. This Gemara is, by the way, used in, there's a whole series of interesting questions that Menachas Yitzchak brings a topic that evidently consumed a lot of people in Europe in a discussion about this, which was, there was a certain Rav who evidently, one side of his face was black hair, and one side of his face was white hair. Like his beard, his hair, everything. He was like basically split down the middle, and it was considered a big busha for him. So it bothered him a lot. So there was a lot of the Rabbanim in Europe got very involved in this debate, but it really centers around the question. Ultimately, some people paskin that he could dye his hair, his white hair, black to make it match, because they were arguing, is it mishum tsar, or is it to look better? So the question was, so some poskim said, look, it's not tsar, it's not physical pain that he has this split hairs, so white and black, two sides, so therefore he can't dye his white hair. And others said that busha is a form of tsar, and therefore he should be able to do it. And there's a number of tshuvas that deal, again, with this Gemara for purposes of that, those kinds of shilas. Continues the Gemara, where, quote from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was talking about the fact that someone insulated his pot with these shearings of wool. And so what we said as follows is that the method by which he should empty the pot, that there was two views. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Kupa mata al tzida v'notel," that he basically said, you take the box that's holding the shearings with the pot in it, and you turn it on the side, and let whatever you want out of the pot, and then you stand the box back up, but you cannot take the pot out of the box. Versus the Chachamim said, no, you could take it out of the box and put it back. So we're going to say as follows. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Hakom Moldim, Shem Niskalkulo Haguma, Sha'asur Lahachzir. So it says, everyone agrees as follows, according to him, that if they were to pull the pot out, the way they're understanding the Machlokas is as follows. If they were to pull the pot out, and now the pot was round, around it was these shearings. If you pull the pot out and the hole remains there, so then that's the machlokas. The Chachamim would say you could put it back. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say you cannot, if it remained intact, you cannot. But everyone would agree that if the shearings that had a hole in them collapsed into the hole, then you would not be able to use it because you're not allowed to touch those shearings. So that's how he's understanding. Rav Abba says in the Rav Chiya Barashi that everyone agrees that if the hole gets ruined, that you can't return it. So ask the Gemara Tanan, but we learned in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say no to the machzer. He could take it and put it back. So now says the Gemara, Hechi Dami, what's the case where the Chachamim say he could take it and put it back? Idlo niskalkulo haguma. If the hole is still there, the shearings are in a circle and left an empty spot for the pot. So then, Shapir Kamri Rabbanan. So then, of course, why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argue with Rabbanan? You should be able to put the pot right back in. It's not an issue about Tmana because it's not most of Hevel. And therefore, you should be able to put it back. So says the Gemara, El Alav, Afal Pizdin Iskalkula Aguma. So rather, isn't it that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the case where the hole got ruined? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, tilt it on its side, because if you were to take it out, and the stuff would fall into the center, you would not be able to put it back. Or maybe he would say, in no instance can you put it back. But the Chachamim say, even if the stuff fell in, they say you could take it out, because if it falls in, you could then put it back. You'll just move. You put the pot down and the pot will move the stuff off to the side. So from our Mishnah, which has that argument, if they were talking about where the guma, where the hole for the pot didn't get ruined, it doesn't seem that there's anything to argue about. So it must be talking about where the pot, where the hole did get ruined, and now you would need to move the shearings out of the way. So Gemara says, no, lo, lio lom tlon is kalkul. We could be talking about a case where everyone would agree, as we said in the beginning, that Rav Abba said in the Rav Chiya Bar Ashi in the beginning, that if the shearings would fall in when you take the pot out, everyone agree you can't put it back. Where they argue is if the hole is still there. So we say, the question is, are arguing about is a gezeira, that since the Rav Elazar ben Azariah was worried it might collapse and the guy will do something wrong, so we don't let him take it out at all, and rather he tilts the box on his side to let stuff out of the pot and then puts it back. And obviously, by not removing the pot from the shearings, they cannot collapse inward. And the Rabbanan say, no, you can go ahead and pull the pot out and pour it out and then put it back as long as the hole is still there. But if you mess up and the shearings fall in and they collapse, then the Chachamim would agree that you're stuck and you cannot put the pot back in. Omar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Haisli Kusta, Datsa Shofa Vahadr Datsa Sharya. So, Slikusta, Rashi explains, he says, Esav is some kind of herb. Shehunoa Lamara, it's beautiful, it's a beautiful plant. Ulahariach, and to smell it. Umimalin, so basically, he says, Umimalin kad offer lach, they would fill like a pitcher or a container of wet, of moist earth. Vitochvin osola tocho, and they would put this Slikusta plant in it. Minosna lefnesarim, they would put it in front of fancy people, in front of princes. Ukishahu rotza, when the guy wants it, notlo mariachbo, he'll pull it out of the dirt, he'll smell it, umachziro lemakomo, and he'll put it back, into its place. So this was, slikusta was some kind of plant. The way they used to store it was they would just shove it into a flower pot or a pitcher that had wet, moist dirt in it. That's where they would keep it. And whenever they wanted, they would pull it out, they would smell it, and they'd put it back into the container. So now, says the Gemara, if you were datsa, which means you planted this plant into the dirt, shofa, you then pulled it out, v'hadr datsa, you put it back in the dirt, sharye, it's mutter. V'ilav, and if not, usser. So the idea here is that if you, before Shabbos, stuck this plant into the potted pot of earth, you pulled it out and put it back in, at that point you've created a hole, and when you're gonna now put it in or out, you're not gonna be moving dirt. Rashi understands it to be an issue of muksa. You're not gonna be moving dirt. But if you didn't, if you didn't before Shabbos stick it in and pull it out, and you're gonna do that first on Shabbos, you're gonna end up moving dirt, and that's an issue of muksa. So that's Rav Huna. Amr Shmuel, that's Rav Huna's case. Amr Shmuel says, Haisa kina de beni urbi, datsa shofa vahadr, datsa shari. Same thing. He says they used to keep a knife, Rashi explains, between, to protect it, they would keep it between the bricks of the wall. So if, and he wants to use his knife on Shabbos. So if before Shabbos, he shoved it in this hole in the wall, he pulled it out, and then he put it back in, so then it's mutter, vilav, usser, and if not, usser. Why? Same reason. Because the mortar or whatever dirt is there that he's shoving it in, when he puts it in, takes it out, and puts it back in, he's creating enough of an opening that he's not going to be moving any of that material around. Marzutra, vitema ravashi, and Marzutra, and some say it was Ravashi, says, Begordisa dekani shapir dami. So he said as follows, that if you have a knife, and Rashi basically describes something that seems like they would squeeze a lot of branches into some kind of smaller thing on the bottom, and the branches would branch out enough, and they would stick a knife in there, and that's where they would store the knife. I guess it was safer than having it lie around. No one get injured, so they'd stick it into this, like, basically container of twigs or branches, whatever it was. And so we say you could stick it in and we don't have to be worried, Rashi says. he says, Kanem Shiyotzin Harbe Begeza Echo, that that many of these branches come out and they're in one bench. V'tochlin zebezeh shaper, you tie that, you squeeze them in very tight. Shaper dummy linos v'sochin sakin l'shoma, that you could shove a knife in there. V'ein choshe sh'shema yigra ha'klipa v'chayev mishem mochek, that maybe you're going to scrape one of these branches and you're going to be over on the issue, the issur of mochek. So, in any event, they're saying similar thing. You could stick it in, and you don't have to worry in this case. Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rava. Rav Mordechai said to Rava, Maser Rav Ketina Tiyufta. Rav Ketina asked a Tiyufta on this view, the one that says that if you have the knife in the, if you have this plant that you stick in the plant and pull it out, or you have the knife that you stick in the brick wall, we said that in order for you to be able to do that on Shabbos, then before Shabbos, you have to have stuck it in, pulled it out, and stuck it back in. So Rav Ketina is going to ask a question on that. So we say as follows, Hatomein lefes utznonis tachas agefen. So if someone were to hide, and Rashi says this is a storage, lishtama bekarka shekein darko. This is how they used to sometimes store. A lefes is a turnip, and tznonis are radishes. So you would take a vegetable, and he would hide it underneath the grapevine, underneath the gefen. Im haya mixas alav megulim, if some of the leaves were exposed, eno choshesh, you don't have to worry about a number of things. Now Rashi explains, the thing about the leaves remaining exposed is just have to do with the one aspect of what we're going to talk about that has to do with Shabbos. I'll explain it in its place. But basically, you could do this, you could plant, not plant, but you could stick a turnip down beneath a wine vine, and you don't have to worry about the following things. Top of Nanalef. Lo mishum klayim, you don't have to worry about klayim. What's the issue here? That we know that klaya kerem is you cannot plant things together with wine. So in this case, all he's doing is he's sticking this turnip in the ground. He's not planting it. So that's not an issue. It's not an isser of klayim, even though that's the same place where the grapevine is growing. Lo mishum shvias. This is not considered planting. So during Shemitah, if you take a turnip and stick it in the ground underneath the grapevine, it's not considered planting. That's over on the Isurim of Shemitah. V'lo mishum meiser, it's not meiser. Rashi explains what would be the issue, that evidently when they stick in this radish or the turnip, it could grow a little bit. And you might think, once you stuck it in the ground, that now it had some growth, that you should now have to take meiser on this turnip, or this radish, because you essentially picked it anew from the ground. So they're saying, no, you don't have to worry about meiser, even though you stuck it in the ground, and then you pull it out. It didn't reset the meiser. If you already took meiser, you don't need to do it. V'nitolin b'Shabbos, you could take it on Shabbos. And that's why they said, as long as there's a few leaves remaining, because if you stuck the turnip in the ground, and there were no leaves sticking out, you couldn't pull it up, because you would have to move around dirt to get to it. But as long as there are leaves there, which means you can pull it out without moving the dirt, so then you're allowed to do it. So what do you see? You see that in a case where something got stuck in the ground, you shoved it in the ground, you can take it out on Shabbos as long as you can hold it by the leaves, and it didn't say in this brisa that you need before Shabbos to shove it in, pull it out, and shove it back in, and only then you could take it out on Shabbos. So you see that to take something out of the ground on Shabbos, you could just pull it out. You don't need to first have it inserted, pulled out and inserted, says the Gemara, Tiyufta. In fact, that is a question both on the halach of Shmuel, who said it by a knife in the bricks, and also Rav Huno, who said it by this slikusta. So therefore, we would leave off that slikusta, this plant that they would smell. Even if before Shabbos you did nothing, you could pull it out on Shabbos, you could smell it, you could put it back in, not a problem. And if you have a knife and you shoved it in the wall before Shabbos, you could pull it out on Shabbos, you could put it in on Shabbos, and we're not worried that you're going to come to move things that are muktzah. Good tovach.